Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
It's amazing. Hey, Happy New Year, church. Great to see you. You're looking beautiful. Loving seeing all the summer dresses out. Didn't wear mine today, but I'm jealous of all the ones that did. And hey, we're going to have such a good morning. We're in a series called The Setup. Who's ever been set up? Any couples get set up? Come on. Hey, really? Okay, hang on. Are you the piercers yet? You are. Of course you are. I wasn't invited to the wedding. Jackson and Nat were set up. By who? By Charlotte Exton. Of course. Charlotte set up half the church. Anyone else get set up? Anyone have been on a blind? Anyone? Ian and Kayleen Harry got set up long time ago. Who by? Do you know? Jill Sweetman set you up. There you go. How about that? Who fancies themselves as a bit of a matchmaker? You think you've got the skill? Yeah, we know you do. Saundy, Joe, Jenny. All right. A few people think they're matchmakers. I'm not a good matchmaker. Pastor Phil's not a good matchmaker. It's awesome. But hey, you've got to give it a shot, right? But we're being set up this morning, and we're talking about being set up and setting up our year and just putting some things in place. So let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, we invite you into this time, this moment, this space. We pray you would have your way. Thank you for your presence, your peace, the fullness of joy. We pray you would be the cornerstone of this year for us. It would be you. That everything would come into alignment with you. So we put you first right now. We ask you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Why don't you grab a seat? Give the Lord a hand or... Yeah, yeah. I'm so pumped for summer camp. Come on. I was doing the maths as Jesse was up here praying. I wasn't praying, I was just trying to do the maths. My first summer camp this year, as of next week, was 18 years ago. I was 3. No, I wasn't. I was 15. And I gave my life. I'd been coming to church for a little while, but it was at that moment, 2006, I really committed my life to the Lord. Never looked back. Summer camp's amazing. This week, let's all commit to keep that every day. If you think about it, just pray for summer camp. You never know. Come on, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know the stories, the fruit, the testimonies, the miracles, the families, the nation. We don't know the communities, the nations that will be transformed by next week. You do not know. It's like a domino effect. It starts somewhere. The flame is always lit somewhere. Why not next week, right? Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be incredible. So we've been talking about... Sorry, I just get really emotional when I talk about summer camp. It's amazing. So we're talking about... I'm just trying to like deviate here. How amazing. I'm talking about setting up our year. And setting up, we had an incredible message 2 weeks ago from Pastor Al, talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. That's the frame, that's the perspective, that's the lens we're looking at this year through, that we would seek first His kingdom. And then an incredible message last week by Pastor Phil about setting up our prayer and our word and understanding the importance of our devotion and our attention on Christ. So I want to start with this scripture again, which has been our kind of core scripture for this series. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says this, "But seek first," everyone say first, "seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So to put it in context, right now as Jesus is speaking in this scripture, we're smack bang in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. one of Jesus's most famous moments and addresses, where he's gathered his disciples and other onlookers, and he sits down and he takes them on this journey through all these amazing kingdom truths, these kingdom principles. And we come to this moment where Jesus starts talking about not being worried. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about the clothes you wear. Don't worry about all the material things of the world. And he says, hey, the answer, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added as well. He'll take care of them. He'll look after you. He cares about you. He says, aren't you more valuable than the birds and the trees? He's going to look after you. He's going to look after us. And so don't worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But he's not even saying that these aren't important things. He actually recognizes, hey, these are things you need. These are necessities. I understand it. It's just about sequence and about priority, that our attention should be on the king and his kingdom first. And so today, in the next little while, we're talking about the idea of stewardship. Talking about this idea of how do we steward what God has given us. And this often will translate as we talk about stewardship, but often it goes into the context of finances. But that's just like a small portion of what stewardship is. Stewardship is about how do we steward our time and our energy? How do we steward our gifts and the talents and the unique wiring that God has given us? How do we maximize and make the most of everything God has put in our hands? Without the right sequence, we end up stewarding according to the world's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. So interestingly though, this whole section, as Jesus comes to this moment in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about do not worry, seek first the kingdom. This whole section, hey Ryan, I'm so sorry. You're amazing. I was just really enjoying it. I forgot you were there. Give Ryan a big hand. JT, so good. And so we come to this moment, and Jesus, and the moment starts with therefore. And if you've ever heard Pat Ancliffe preach, you'll know that whenever the Bible says therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for. And so the preceding portion of scripture in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about storing up treasures in heaven. He's saying, hey, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, yada, yada, yada. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And then there's this the most random scripture that has nothing to do with treasure, nothing to do with storehouses, nothing to do with moths, nothing to do with the next section of not worrying. No, it's got nothing to do with anything really. And it says, and you've got to ask, hang on, why did Jesus just say that? It seems out of place. And he says this in Matthew 6, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. You see, what I've started to discover, what I've learned, and what I'm learning is that kingdom stewardship is less about stewarding what's in our hands and more about stewarding what's in our eyes. You see, the original, if you can think about it, the original stewardship call in the biblical narrative was to Adam and Eve. He created the heavens and the earth. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. And the first thing he says, I want you to tend the garden, tend my creation, look after it, steward it, take care of it. But interestingly, this is not actually this is not the only stewardship call he gave to Adam and Eve. It was one of two. The second one was a stewardship of their eyes. Because he said, I've given you all the trees that are pleasing to the eye, but just don't touch the one in the middle. Don't let your eyes go there. Don't look at it. But you know, Adam and Eve didn't lose their rights to the garden and their inheritance because they failed at their first stewardship call. I'm sure if you went to the garden on Adam and Eve's watch, the potatoes were really good and nutritious. The beef was Wagyu. Come on, the streams were like fresh Icelandic water. I'm sure the garden was in good condition. I'm sure they did a good job tending what they were given. I don't have any doubt about it. What they failed to steward was their eyes. They didn't lose the garden because of their lack of stewardship in this area. They lost it because of the lack of stewardship in this area, where they took their eyes off God, off what they had, off all that He had given, and onto what the devil had started telling them about what they didn't have. As I started preparing this message, I felt a very clear word that as we set up this year, as you set up this year, it is less about the practicalities of how we steward our time, our talents, and our treasure, and more about learning to steward the eyes of our spirit. See, I believe one of the key shifts God is doing in the church in 2024 is moving us from imitation to intimacy. From imitation to intimacy and obedience. Taking our eyes off what everyone else is doing, what everyone else is saying, the paths and the decisions that everyone else is making, and onto what is God telling me. So often we blindly see what other people do. We adopt good ideas, good strategies, good frameworks, good concepts, good advice. And we say, oh, if it worked for you, it should work for me. But God didn't tell you to do it. He told them to do it. And we try to adopt and we try to imitate someone else's success and obedience rather than hearing the word of the Lord for ourselves. I think the kingdom is not a formula. Okay, it's not a formula. It can't be formulated. It can't be packaged and shipped out as like, hey, just follow the steps and here you go, here's your Christian walk. The kingdom is not a formula. It can't just be rinsed and repeated. It's a flow. It's a fellowship. It's a following of the Holy Spirit. It's a following the voice of God. It's not a recipe we follow. It's a person we follow. So we can find ourselves incredibly busy but incredibly unfruitful, because we're busy with things that other people, that God told other people to do. We're busy with something that worked for someone else and not actually something that's designed to work for us. And so our goal and my heart, my prayer for 2024 is that we would be busy building what God has called us to build. We'd be busy stewarding the things that God wants us to steward. We'd be busy paying our attention on what He is doing in our lives rather than He is doing in someone else's life, someone else's church, and someone else's city. That we would pay attention to what is God doing in front of us. That we wouldn't be busy and unfruitful, busy with the wrong things. In Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Even Jesus had this posture in John 5, verse 19. He says, Jesus gave him this answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. How's this? He can only do what He sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son always, He also does. So kingdom stewardship doesn't start with what just good advice of how we steward what's in our hands. It's actually how do we steward our eyes? How do we keep our eyes on Him and not imitating everyone else? So my question is, well, what are you seeing in the Lord when it comes to your finances? Have you asked? What are you seeing? When you bring your world to the Lord, what is the Lord showing you about how you should manage that? When it comes to the gifts that you've got, I love Jo's story. She prayed, she went to a connection, she prayed. She gave it to the Lord. She put her eyes on the Lord. And then stuff started happening. Doors started opening. What is the Lord showing us? What are we seeing in God when it comes to the gifts and the talents and the abilities, the time and the resources? So we don't just conform blindly to the patterns of the world or the patterns of just imitating the things around us that we think, oh, that looks good, or that's a nice idea, that sounds like good advice. We don't just conform to the patterns of the world. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we would understand and know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says this, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God knows the works. He knows. He knows. You don't have to worry. God knows. God knows the works. He knows what's next. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's on the agenda. You don't have to freak out. God knows what's ahead. He knows the path before you. He knows. He's prepared it already. It's ready to go for you. It's ready. You might not see it, but He sees it and He knows. And as we look to Him, as we look to His word, as we look and we inquire of the Lord, He becomes a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We just need to look. If we've had a call to cultivate something beautiful with what we've been given. We're meant to build something that brings heaven to earth, to extend the kingdom a little bit more. And I think, you know, this is kind of an area, the idea of purpose and calling, it's an area that I've wrestled with and stewed on for a long time now. And I've discovered, what I'm discovering is that as Christians, what we tend to do is we glorify the notion of calling and we neglect the idea of assignments. We glorify the macro, and in doing so, like the big picture, God's called me to be a, God's called me to do, and we miss the micro. We miss the assignments, because every calling is made up of 1,000 assignments. I find it funny because I was having coffee with Ian Harry a few weeks ago, and we joked about this, about how we all laugh when we hear Richard Forsyth get up and share the offering, because he has all these stories, right? Like, you know, Rich is going to get up and he's going to tell an annoying God story. Like another one, Rich, why does it keep happening to you? You know, like he got to work that morning and was about to get out of the car. He dropped his keys, but then the Lord said, pick them up. And so he picked them up and he said, go to the elevator, Richard. And so he went up to the elevator. He said, third floor. He goes, okay, Lord. He goes up to the third floor and he said, look for the girl with the red top. So he goes over to the girl with the red top and he says, hey, I bought you a coffee. It's a cappuccino. She goes, I drink a latte. He said, no, you need to drink a cappuccino. And so she goes, why? And she goes, oh, hang on a second. My son, he's in Peru and he's harvesting coffee beans right now. And he told me that actually cacao helps the coffee come out. And so this is amazing. He goes, well, what do you need? He says, well, actually, he told me on the phone last night that they're really struggling. The people in the community really struggling. They don't have supplies for children's toys. He goes, well, you know what? Don't worry. Because I was just with the head of department at Big W talking about this very thing. And he just so happened, we have 10% extra toys that not been selling. Richard, can you do anything with them? You can take them off my hands. He goes, you know what? I have a girl. There's kids in Peru, they need children's toys. He says, they're all yours. But you know what? We're all meant to have those stories. We're all meant to have those stories. That's not a Richard thing, it's a God thing. It's a children of God thing. This is our inheritance. My job here isn't to give you the steps of how to steward your finances. My job isn't to tell you what team to join. My job, that's not my job. My job is to help you inquire of the Lord so He can show you the path. See, the role of discipleship is not to teach you about Jesus, it's to help Jesus be your teacher. That's my job. If you go to a connect group and they're not teaching you they're just teaching you about Jesus and they're not helping you let Jesus be your teacher, come tell me. I'll go along to that connect group. No, I won't. I'll tell Saundy. Hey, our heart as C3 SYD is that we're not here to be Jesus for you. We're here to help point you to Jesus. Come on, you have direct access. We're not your mediator. You can hear and see what He's doing for yourself. See, without His voice, we build in vain. When we operate according to the flesh, we won't end up building anything eternal. In the kingdom, we build according to His word. Everything starts with a word. In the beginning, God spoke. Jesus was the word that became flesh. When we steward based on the mind of the flesh, that's governed by the flesh, we'll give birth to flesh. But when we steward on the mind governed by the spirit, we'll give birth to spirit and we'll find life, favor, and freedom in what we do. This is why stewardship starts with the eyes of our spirit and not just with what's in our hands. So my question is what are the things that can trap us, that commonly trip us up and trap us, that cause us to go into just imitating the world, imitating the world's wisdom, imitating other people's success, even good ideas. They sound right. At face value, it's good. What causes us to drift into just imitating the world rather than having intimacy with God and obeying from that place? What are the things? And this is some of the things that I've come up with. Number one, assumption. Assumptions. Sometimes we too easily fall into assumption, where everything in the natural is pointing towards something obvious. It's like, oh, that must be the solution. That must be the right path. That must be the decision to make. That must be the course to do. That must be the job to take. That it's all screaming in the natural. That's the obvious natural choice. And we assume, based on circumstance, what God's will is. But circumstance has never been a good indicator of the will of God. And our biggest mistake is when we assume we know what God wants, just based on the world around us. The prophet Samuel nearly made this mistake. He was asked to go and anoint a new king of Israel. And so he was sent to a house full of these rugged, handsome, warrior-like sons. And it would have been very easy to assume the right choice to be king in the natural. It would have been easy to assume, oh, this must be, he ticks all the boxes. He must be the right choice. But luckily, Samuel had stewarded the eyes of his heart to know the Lord and see what the Lord is doing. And see, he didn't assume, and he noticed that something was off and there was David hidden in the field. Assumption can stop us stewarding what's in our hands the way God has called us to. Second thing is expectations, the expectations of others. Sometimes we feel like we just have to do something because it's expected of us. We've been told to do it. And the inner people pleaser in us just wants to do something because, oh, someone in authority told me that that's what I need to do. That's how it works. And so we just expectations of others or whether it's whoever else, anyone in any kind of authority in our life or whatever stage or season we're in, we can fall into this trap of just doing something because it's expected rather than it's what the Lord is calling us to do. David nearly did this when he went to fight Goliath. Saul, with all good intention, wanted to put his armor on David, but it was ill-fitted. And there are some things you've been trying to wear because it's just expected of you. You've been told that's what's right. That's the way we do things here. That's the way it should be done. And it's ill-fitted and there's no grace in it. And so we just start to imitate someone else's success. We wear Saul's armor. And we forget that actually God's given us a stone and a sling. The third thing that traps us in this is delay. Delays. Sometimes it's our own impatience. It's our own frustration with the timings of God that cause our eyes to rush, that cause us to rush, that cause us to try and force a breakthrough and an outcome, and we end up giving birth to a flesh-made version of God's promise. A counterfeit, something that looks right but is not quite it. This is exactly what Abraham and Sarah did when they were waiting for Isaac. In their rush, in their hesitation, in their frustration, they created Ishmael through Hagar, which was a son, yes, but it wasn't the son that God had promised. And so enough, we rush to the flesh because the delays cause us to move away from trusting God. The final thing I think that trips us up is just our own insecurity. If I can get the musicians back up, that'd be amazing. Our own insecurity. Sometimes it's our insecurities that cause our eyes to drift off what Jesus is calling us to do, the instructions and the guidance he's giving us, and we drift onto what he's telling others. Peter, at the very end of the Gospel of John, had this issue. He's having this beautiful moment with Jesus. He's got that intimacy. Jesus is saying, hey, this is kind of what's ahead. He's giving some insights, some kind of words into his future. And then his eyes catch John in his periphery. And he's like, hang on. Lord, what about him? What are you going to do with him? And that's what we do. Maybe we're in that place and we've been hearing from God and you've been hearing about your future. You've been hearing what God's calling you to do, or maybe an assignment he's giving you for this year of how you can use your gifts or how you can invest your time or your money or talents, how you can do these things, and it's going to be awesome. And then we just catch, hey, what's he going to do? But Lord, what are you going to do with them? And we allow our eyes to drift off Jesus and onto other people, and comparison sets in, and we compare our journey to someone else's journey, our next step to someone else's next step. And so what do we do? And Jesus' encouragement was really simple. It's quite profound. And he stopped. I just imagine like they're walking along the beach, just had some nice fish. He stops. He looks Peter in the eye. He just says, you follow me. You follow me. You must follow me. You must follow me. Don't imitate someone else's journey. Don't feel the expectation to imitate someone else's step, someone else's obedience, someone else's success. What has he told you to do? What I want to do in the moments we've got, we're not in a rush, we've got plenty of time, is I want us to come to the Lord. Maybe there's one specific area you would love God's guidance in. You would love his light to reveal a step on the path. Maybe it's something a little broader, a little bigger about who you are, your identity. I want us to come to the Lord and ask of him. Inquire of the Lord as you set up this year, as you steward the things in your hands, as you go through the motions again. Let us not build in vain. What is the Lord building in your world? What is the Lord saying in your world? Do we know? Have we allowed the space for him to speak? And so what I want to do right now, why don't we close our eyes? Because maybe there's some people here and you're thinking, you know what? I need help. I need guidance. I need answers. I need clarity. And you're like, that sounds awesome. I want to be able to have that connection, have that freedom. You know, we can't come to the Father unless we know the Father. And this morning, right now, in this moment, I want to make sure that you know the Father. He's not far off. He's close. He created a way for us through his son, Jesus, to come and reconnect with him. If you're here in this moment at the beginning of this year and you're saying, you know what? I don't have a connection to my creator. I don't have that connection to the Father. With no one looking around, just between you and the Lord, I'd love you just to do something brave and just slip your hand up and say, that's me. Just do something to recognize that's me in this moment. I want a connection. I want to establish a relationship with the creator of the universe. I need that connection. If you're here and you're wanting to do that, maybe you've never done that, or maybe you did it a long time ago, but you feel that connection's been lost. I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. I want to pray a prayer for that connection to come back. If there's anybody here, why don't you just slip your hand up right now at the start of this year? Awesome, I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? You need to make that decision to connect with your creator. Awesome, thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is the number one way you can set up your, not just your year, but your life and your future is in this moment. Is anybody else before I move on? I don't want to miss anybody. Between you and the Lord. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Beautiful. Thank you, God. Awesome. You can put your hands down if you've still got your hand up. We're going to open our eyes. We're going to stand to our feet. A few people putting their hands up and making that decision is beautiful. We're going to pray a prayer as a family right now. All together, we're going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hands, I want you to make this prayer your own. Really say it from your heart. Let's say this together now. Dear Jesus, I thank you for saving me, for making a way for me to find home. Today, I receive you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we just give the Lord a hand and celebrate all these people? We've got a few more moments here. And so what I'd love to do is we're going to, I don't know if you've noticed, but our stage extension has been removed, which means we have a lot of space, which is exciting. Come on, whether if you've got a big question or a specific area, let's create right now a moment for you to inquire of the Lord. Get a word. Get a word. What's the word for your for the area? What's God's directive? What's God's inclination? Let me read this scripture of you. This is my prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. Come on, we're gonna sing this song. If you wanna inquire of the Lord, bring something to Him, gain some guidance for this year, why don't you come on down, create some space, let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.